Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
They are actually friends, not just friendly. They're friends.
Bodes well for you. Is he going to sit in the audience there, like right off cam?
Oh, sit in the show.
I didn't know if he'd be
in
that.
You know what? He could take Wilbon's spot, and he'd take my spot.
Was this a planned meeting?
I don't know. If I hear the phrase, coach wants to see and bring your playbook, I know it's bad, but they got to write me a good check.
Things to look out for. Let's take a walk. Yes. This is the best thing for you.
Right.
Want
stuff
to,
like that.
It's want to talk to you after the show.
Stuff like
if they
that.
Give you, I want to talk to you after the show, you blitz out of there.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
All righty, then. We're live at Chatter at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest and Jennifer Street Northwest on a rare day when it is not raining in Washington, D.C. We have Monday Night Football here tonight. We do expect a pretty big crowd because it's the Redskins and the Eagles. And that is for the winner of that, not necessarily will be in the wild card, but the winner of that will be tied with the Dallas Cowboys, right, for the
well,
lead.
Well, the Redskins would certainly be in the wild card because they are currently six in
they're
the wild
currently
card.
In the
yep,
wild
yes.
card.
Yes. Yep.
Whatever. We'll be here all week.
Try the veal.
Have the veal. We'll be here all week. The holiday cards have begun to come in. Jonathan Sapansky in Beltsville brought in a beautiful handmade
unbelievable
wood lachiserie really board, nice. And he writes, for the first day of Hanukkah, I thought, what could be more fitting than a Polish Catholic from Beltsville giving you a present with a Frenchish catchphrase on it, added to the prize closet, or share it with the rest of your people, my people. Anyway, you see fit, to quote a Jewish philosopher, instead of one day of presents, may you have eight crazy nights, which is nice. We have from Jolene Wojcik, we have a beautiful box of licorice, also a nice card from her entire family
you,
in Grand
Jeremy.
Island, Nebraska. Thanks for another great year of podcasts. I hope to make it in person to Chatter so I can meet you all and deliver a gift in person. But until then, please enjoy these treats from one of my favorite places in Lincoln, Licorice, Lincoln, Nebraska, Licorice International. My dad, who passed away 4 years ago, loved black licorice. And Mr. Tony, you've mentioned you do as well. Dad always had licorice or black jelly beans around to share with everyone, so please enjoy. And indeed, we
must
will.
Must have been popular with the kids, your dad,
indeed.
Jolene.
Yeah. I got this note from Sam Abelhosen, Abelhosen. This is amazing. You've probably heard that our friend Nathan Peterman is now a free agent. I'm sure you share in my optimism that someone will give the Peterman another chance. In the event that doesn't happen, perhaps you can do the right thing and offer him a bartending position at Chatter. Aside from occasionally handing out drinks to the wrong table, I think he'll be a great addition. Please consider the enclosed autographed trading card, his resume, and have your people call his people. I have it. I'm holding it in my hand for those watching on News Channel 8. Autographed.
That's
Nathan Peterman.
That's Peter.
See that? Doesn't have a
man.
Isn't that?
It's got a piece of his jersey.
Isn't that amazing?
I thought that was a close-up.
And from the Dembriskies. Happy holiday season to all the gang. Mahalo for all the laughs. Actually, I just wanted to hear Mr. Tony Perhound pronounce Meli Kalikimaka and Haoli Makihiki Ho.
You just heard it.
I did that.
Yeah,
I did the best
go.
I could.
Done.
We're not going to announce everybody's cards, but we appreciate all the cards
that come in,
and now we will start the show. There are two major news stories. One, as always in the NFL season, is the NFL recapping what happened on Sunday, and one is college and the choosing of Oklahoma to be the fourth team. Everybody knew that the three undefeated teams, and I'll rank them in order of skills in my opinion, and in most people's opinion, Alabama 1, Clemson 2, close to, and Notre Dame 3. And some people are like, there's pushback on Notre Dame. You want to say, hold a second. They play a real representative schedule. Get out of my life. They finished undefeated. They're going to go in. And now Oklahoma goes in there. I watched everything. I mean, I watched all the games that really, truly mattered. Which is to say I left out the Clemson game because I wanted to watch Wilbon's team against Ohio State. It's hard for me to believe that Georgia isn't one of the three best teams in the country, honestly.
No.
Georgia is leading Alabama in the fourth quarter, which no one has done. Georgia has knocked out Tua, which had been done, but not to this extent. Georgia has, on the last play of the game, a reasonable chance to tie the game or win if they go for two. Yes, it is a Hail Mary, but they're there at the end. If you bet Georgia plus 13.5, you're laughing at this point. They're there at the end. I can't find it in my heart to believe that they're not one of the three best teams in the country. We will see, because Oklahoma gets a shot at Alabama in the first round. Okay. Why does this happen? Why do they pick Oklahoma? Well, Georgia has two losses. And they have two losses. Oklahoma and Ohio State have one. It's a television show. You want to get Kyler Murray against Tua. They're going to finish 1-2 in the Heisman. And I think now Kyler Murray's going to win it because of what happened on Saturday. And nobody would argue with that or with the Ohio State kid. By the way, nobody's going to argue any of these things. Although I thought Tua had the best year going into the Saturday game. It's a television show. You can't keep dismissing the conference champions of the Big Ten, the Big 12, and the Pac-10. You can't do it. You can't do it for a second team from the SEC, even though we all acknowledge the SEC is probably the best team out there, the best conference out there. And you don't want Urban Meyer in front of the microphones for a solid week. You don't want that because he's going to be asked only about Zach Smith. He's going to lie 20 times, and you don't want it. You don't want it. So, by the way, let me say that Amtrak Nick is here with his mom.
Oh, welcome, Amtrak.
So he's here, Amtrak. Yes. So if you need train travel in the United States of America,
Nick is the guy.
Got a few red grievances. Cap service.
So what have you got? It's hard for me to. I would have argued against Ohio State a little. I think Georgia's better, but I understand Oklahoma.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I thought it's not only that Georgia was in it, and Gary will, I know, correct me if I'm wrong. Alabama hasn't played any games even marginally that close this year.
They won by 20 everywhere.
I haven't played any teams that good either.
They have not.
As good as Georgia. But I'm not any good.
Because nobody is as good as Georgia except Clemson.
They beat LSU at LSU 29-0. Like, to me, Georgia's is at least the fourth best team, but I also understand there's no way they're putting two SEC teams, one of which has two losses, over the Big Ten and Big 12 championships.
This is a national championship, and it becomes a regional event if you have Clemson, Alabama, and Georgia all within probably 150 miles of each other and Notre Dame. Then it becomes NASCAR to people. I can't do it.
Chris points out they're not going to put a second SEC team, especially
with
two losses.
They have.
One with two losses.
Alabama has been a second SEC team.
With two losses ahead of Big Ten and Big 12 champions, just to finish what he said. But, but I found it actually very interesting that they did put them ahead of the Big Ten champion, which suggests that they're then that the 4-5 conversation would have been, are we going to do Georgia or Oklahoma here? Short conversation, but it's foolish that we have this discussion every year because it's like MVP discussion. Well, what is it? The four best teams? Well, obviously, it's not the four best teams. No one is arguing that Georgia is not among the four best teams.
They are.
So they are. So what are we doing here? As you sometimes like to say. The other thing is, because of the way the schedule shook out, and because it is a TV show, do they want to have a rerun, which is what you're doing?
I don't think they do.
Yeah.
So why don't they have a play-in? I mean, why would they put two more teams in?
But that's not...
Different discussion.
That's not there now.
Yeah.
But what's there now is four.
I heard you guys talking about this last week, and Gary, I thought, made a really good point, which is you want Alabama, Georgia, and then Alabama, Georgia again, and how could you avoid that and what would happen? The only thing I would say, I totally agree, the only thing I would say is that game was pretty compelling.
That was a great
and
game.
I care nothing about either team other than my hatred for Saban. If you said
Kirby
they're playing
Smart
next
with
week,
a very stupid fake punt.
Why would you
very
do that?
Very obvious fake punt. The Alabama knew it was coming. If you want to make the yards, you've got a quarterback who can throw it 65 in the air. Give him the ball.
Yeah.
Or pin him back, but don't do that.
But that game, I mean, obviously Tua going out, Jalen Hurt coming. I mean, there's a lot of drama there. If they played again next week, I would watch. In a week ago, I probably would have said, because my guess would have been the outcome of the game on Saturday.
Well, it's a
month
that they would be playing.
A month.
Again.
It's a month.
I know, so.
But I understand why they went to Oklahoma.
And Tua
by the way, Kyler Murray.
He's
a wow. He's a wow. He can spin it.
Yeah.
He can really throw it down the field. And he's not going to play in that sport forever. He's going to go play baseball where his career will be longer if he's good. But, the hard thing about that is if you're drafted in the NFL in the first round like he probably would be,
there's
you get
money
to play right away.
Yeah.
Money.
So, is Tua sprained his ankle, I
Tua
know,
had operations.
In the first...
He already had surgery.
He did, okay.
And it is said that within 2 weeks he will be healed sufficiently and he'll be able to practice which is on schedule.
That was all I was
wondering. So let me get to the second big story, which is the NFL. And this is a catch-all story. It's not who won yesterday, it's who lost. Yesterday was about yesterday, and starting with Thursday night with the Saints, with a 10-game winning streak, they lost. Yesterday, the Colts, with a 5-game winning streak, didn't just lose, got no points against Jacksonville. Went four times, fourth down, got no points. You had your hand
I'm
up.
I'm sorry. Yeah, and I hate to interrupt you because I know this show is all about forward motion. But I just want to point out, I was looking at the lines for the college football playoff, and maybe you know this.
No, I don't.
Okay, well, what do you think an Alabama-Georgia rematch line would be? I mean, that was 13.5 last week. It would be
8, 7, 8.
Something like that. So Alabama is a 14-point favorite over Oklahoma, essentially the same margin they were over
Georgia.
Well,
Clemson's probably a larger favorite over Notre Dame.
11.
Oh, I'm surprised at that. I'm surprised at that. All right, so let me get back to this.
Apologies.
Colts won 5 in a row. They lost. The Bears had a great resurgence to get to overtime when Odell Beckham Jr. didn't bother to try to get the ball on the onside kick and then said, and I'm quoting directly, "No one should ever question my effort or my heart." Actually, I would like to question your effort and your heart.
Did you meant to say intentions?
I mean,
maybe.
I dog it. How dare you question me?
What?
I knew they were going to need me in overtime, so I didn't want to risk hurting myself.
You already had a big game.
The Steelers. Tired. The Steelers lost. The Panthers. They lost again. They stink.
They stink.
The Packers. They lost again. They're done. The Vikings lost to a good team. One good team was going to have to lose. But the better team won.
Yes.
The Vikings are now not in the wild card at the moment. Yeah. And as I mentioned, the Steelers lost to a good team. But they were up by 23.
They're up 20-something
like
that.
23-7. They were
23-7 at half.
Tony, they showed a stat last night during the game in, I guess it was forever?
Yeah, the Steelers had never lost with that lead.
Were like 2-20-0-2.
They
had never lost at home with a 14-point lead in the second half.
So they,
and they blew
a
16-point lead last
night. So now your wild cards. Now a team that honestly had been left for dead very early, Seattle, because Seattle's defense was gone.
Good.
It was gone. Seattle's in a wild card. One team in the NFC East at the moment. Is it the Redskins at the moment?
Well, Dallas is in the division.
Okay. All right, so they're in at the moment. The Chargers are in, and now it looks like the Ravens, another team left for dead at the side of the road. The Ravens now 3-0 with Lamar Jackson.
RG3 sighting yesterday.
RG me. Third quarter.
RG3's this.
And Lamar Jackson, to be fair,
RG me,
has no stats at all as a passer.
No.
Nothing. Yeah. And they've won. By virtue mostly of their defense, they won 3 in
they
a row.
They are only a game behind the Steelers now.
That's right.
I believe.
Right.
They
did they get one more?
They split.
They've already
the
played.
They already played. So
yeah,
that's harder.
Played
the other one, weird. I believe, and Gary will know this. Broncos are now in the mix. The Broncos are 6-6.
Yep. They're in it. A team that you thought was terrible.
Case Keenum in it.
Way,
Kirk Cousins not.
Because Case Keenum, of all the undervalued people out there, I have Case Keenum at the top of the list. I'm not saying Kirk Cousins isn't better. I'm not saying Minnesota shouldn't have done this. What I am saying is that Case Keenum was thrown away, and it's like, thanks for the 1 year and blah, blah, blah. Now get out of here. Case Keenum's pretty good. He's pretty good. So,
Case Keenum is a victim of a fantasy football culture.
Yes. Kirk Cousins.
15 years ago, we'd have
totally
appreciated
true.
Him.
He
more,
wins games.
Yeah, I mean, he wins games. He was 12 of 21 for 150 yards and a touchdown. I mean,
he doesn't throw the ball away.
Well, Philip Lindsay is he a rookie?
He is a rookie.
By the way,
undrafted rookie.
157 on 19 carries.
How about
pretty good.
Jacksonville dumps Blake Bortles. Yep. They don't score at all. let's not get
Never
crazy.
Never score.
But their guy doesn't fumble it or throw it away. And they hold the Colts, who for 7 or 8 weeks in a row, Andrew Luck had at least 3 touchdown passes.
Right, 8 weeks in a row.
Yep.
And they get nothing.
And got robbed. Not that this cost them the game, but we as fans got robbed at least of seeing Andrew Luck have a chance on that last. I don't know if you saw the last play of that game.
I don't know how they ruled that guy in bounds.
Yeah.
His whole body lands out of bounds.
They ruled that his forward motion had stopped in bounds, but that's a tough call
at that
point in the game.
That was a tough call. Yeah. All right, so we'll get out of here on that. Wilbon will join us when we return. Wilbon is back in D.C. after a whirlwind weekend at the Northwestern Ohio State game. All the things. He had to do a lot of stuff for the school. So we will get back to that. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the newly written 23andMe DNA.
Oh, this is exciting.
Commercial. Now through December 25th. That's a waste. That's like 3 weeks. The 23andMe DNA kits are on sale. 23andMe helps you understand what your DNA can tell you about you and your family story. It's named for the 23 pair of chromosomes that make up our DNA. 23andMe Health and Ancestry Service includes 90-plus personalized genetic reports that offer DNA insights on what makes you unique. It's easy to do. Again, it's easy for you, and it's just hard for me. You simply spit into the tube provided in your 23andMe kit, register your sample to your personal 23andMe account, and in a few weeks, you receive your personalized online reports. So some of these things are wild. Ancestry Composition Report with 23andMe's Ancestry Composition Report, you can explore where your DNA is from out of 150-plus regions worldwide. Wellness. Learn how your genes play a role in your well-being and lifestyle choices. Muscle composition. Do you have the genetic muscle composition common in elite power athletes?
You do.
Studies have found that almost all elite power athletes have a specific genetic variant in a gene related to muscle composition.
Call that the
Well, I wasted the first 75 years of my life.
It's called the Jimmy the Greek corollary.
You might have that version of the gene, too. With 23andMe's muscle composition report, you can explore the link between your DNA and your muscle composition. Cilantro taste aversion. Many people dislike cilantro, describing the taste as soapy. Is it cilantro? Yes. Not cilantro? Yeah. Do you have the genetic markers associated with this aversion? Misophonia. Don't know what that is.
Yeah, we talk about that all the time.
Almost so horny.
Oh, my.
And almost everyone hates noises like nails on a chalkboard. But for people with misophonia, everyday noises sound like the sound of chewing can cause a similar reaction, along with rage or panic. Do you have a genetic variant associated with hating chewing sounds?
What? Fascinating.
Now through December 25th, get 30% off any 23andMe kit. Order your DNA kit at 23andme.com/Tony. That's the number 23. That's the numbers. 23andme.com/Tony. Again, that's 23andme.com/Tony.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
I came here to escape, cause the day-to-day is wearing me thin. I'm gonna sit till they force me and kick the stool.
This is the clean version.
Yes, this is. Yes.
This is Bartender by Hot Pink Hangover. Davey Hazard writes, we heard you play the Summer of the Johnny Drowned on the show. Thank you so much for your continued support. We truly appreciate it. We just released a video for our new song called Bartender. We'd love to hear it played on the program. The video is about a group of people being brainwashed in a movie theater and follows the story of a girl who wakes from her delirium and attempts a daring escape. You can watch it now on YouTube on the Hot Pink Hangover channel.
How about that?
They have their own channel?
Absolutely.
Fantastic. I'd like to get my own channel.
You know, it can be done.
We can make
that happen. Yeah. Yeah. I know a guy.
Michael Wilbon joins us now, and although both his teams lost, I want to dwell on the Bears, the comeback by the Bears against the Giants. And I know you're going to say they should never have been in that position. And you're right, although they don't lose any ground in the division because every single team in the NFC North or Central, whatever it's called, lost. But what, weren't you thrilled by the comeback?
No.
No?
No.
Why?
I mean, the game started with, you know, the backup quarterback who had just beaten Detroit on Thanksgiving Day in Detroit.
Right.
It started with Chase Daniel coming out in his Jay Cutler costume.
Well, okay.
So, no, I was angry from the very first snap of the game, or that was like the second snap of the game. And no, he played just wretchedly at times. I mean, he couldn't take he fumbled three consecutive snaps on the last series in overtime. Three. And to his credit, he's very likable, Tony, for what, you know, a backup quarterback who came right out and said, that is on me. He didn't try to say, you know, oh, you guys don't know because you've never played the game. He's like, nope, that's on me. And Nagy made just a bonehead, stupid decision to call timeout with 17 seconds left in the half. Bears were up 14-7. So despite the Jay Cutler-ish play to give away seven, they come back, they score twice, they are just killing Eli Manning, they put him down twice, just go into the half.
Khalil
just
Mack all over.
Into the half with a 14-7 lead,
right,
and come back out. No, he calls timeout, the Giants run a giveaway play. They run a giveaway play to Saquon Barkley, who on 3rd and 30 goes for like 27 yards. And they get in position one play later for a field goal, which changes the game. The field goal made it 14-10, and the Giants were like, okay, you know, we've done something good here. And so, the comeback, there should have been no comeback.
But you must have loved the last call to get the touchdown to get it into overtime. You had to love that, the reverse, the pass. You had to love that.
I'm not a pretty shiny objects guy like you are.
It resulted in a touchdown.
It shouldn't have. They lost the game. They lost the game. If the Bears win, yes, the play was beautiful.
It was.
You want me to say that?
Yes.
Okay, fine. The play was beautiful. So what?
What did you think of Odell Beckham Jr.'s effort to try to knock away the ball on the onside kick?
I don't know how that works. I never played football, organized football. I don't know how that works.
What works, Wilbon? How an onside kick works? You get the ball, is the object.
I'm not going to demean Odell Beckham. I don't know.
I did.
Like, I know you would.
Well, he said this is a direct quote.
You think he's on a block? He's Odell Beckham.
Should
he's going to get the ball.
Question my effort or my heart as he shied away from trying to get the ball.
I guess. I don't know.
You'll crush Chase Daniel, but you won't crush Odell Beckham
No, because here's what Odell Beckham did. He caught a touchdown pass and threw
one. Yeah, was great. He was great. Okay.
And here's why it was a failure of, the Bears coaches. He does a lot of great stuff, overwhelmingly. But he's given away. They have given away 3 games. Just gave them away. I'm not sure you can. Luckily, the Vikings have to play at Seattle this week. But here's the thing, Tony. The Bears knew that there are only 2 Giants players who could beat them.
Saquon Barkley and Odell Beckham.
And what did they do? They let those 2 players beat them. So I'm angry.
I'll move away from the window.
It was great to see, Tony. There's a post-game show in Chicago that I can see. We can see anything now anywhere. But there's a post-game show on Comcast or NBC Chicago that features Lance Briggs and Matt Forte and Alex Brown.
Right.
And it's just great because they lit some people up yesterday, 3 former Bears, and I was just seething. I'm not over it now. I'm just ticked off. It's like the Miami game they gave away, the Green Bay game they gave away. You can't just give away games. You give away pro football games it like that, and your season is going to be a disappointment.
So let me get to the weekend with Northwestern and Ohio State in Indianapolis. Tell us about the things you did. Tell us about how you felt about the game and how you feel about Oklahoma being in there instead of, say, certainly instead of Georgia and Ohio State in whatever order you want.
Yeah, and I'll take the back end of that first. Sorry, right. I'm okay with Oklahoma being in there. I feel a little bit bad that for the second straight year the Big Ten is not.
That's right, right.
And a 31-point loss or 29-point loss to Purdue by Ohio State is what led to that. I don't want to hear the whining from Georgia. You know, you got a 2-touchdown lead in the fourth quarter. Man up. And the fake kick that Kirby Smart called, he defended. Stop. Was it a fake punt?
Yeah, they
tried to run up on 4th and 7. Not 4th and 1.
No, it was a distance. Yes, it was a distance.
When they hiked
it
to the guy in the middle, he looked like he didn't know it was supposed to be a fake punt.
Alabama
he just
knew,
stood there.
Alabama, where...
He knew exactly.
Because he coached Kirby Smart for 10. Of course he knew what was happening.
I mean, that was, you know, so I don't want to hear from Georgia. Okay. Shut up.
Do you think that Georgia is one of the 4 best teams, though?
I don't know what that means. They didn't win the games.
Right.
You, there's only 1 test.
Right.
People say, oh, they... The eye test. The eye test, they ran a stupid fool play that cost them the game. And they couldn't get themselves together in the fourth quarter again against Alabama. So I'm tired of Georgia. Get out.
Okay.
So I'm okay with Oklahoma. Now, you know, Tony, it's the first time Northwestern's ever been in the Big Ten championship game. I don't even know how old the game is. Is it 10 years old? Maybe even less than that. But It's our first one. And we were completely dwarfed in the stadium, like 75%, 25%, 75% Ohio State fans.
Oh, is that right? I thought you thought that you'd have 50%.
I said to you, I thought we'd have 25,000. We didn't have 25,000.
Okay.
But the whole thing, the 2 days, I went out there on Friday. And, you know, it was just great. I mean, you do all the things that big boy football schools do. You know, you have rallies and dinners and events and tailgates and people come along.
Pay players.
What's that?
Pay the players.
No, we don't pay players. And Seth Meyers was part of the pregame. Greeny hosted it, and a lot of people were involved. It was just we had a rally at the convention center in Indy before the game. We had 3,500 people at the rally. This is not a big deal if you're, you know, Ohio State, because you get 92,000 at, you know, the Scarlet and Gray spring game. But we're not. We're the smallest school. You know, we're the smallest school in the Big Ten by a lot. And but people responded as we can respond. And we played, you know, I thought we played okay. I thought we played pretty well. Ohio State probably played, I don't know, a 7.5 game on the 1-10 scale. We probably played an 8.5. But we needed Ohio State to play a 4.
Yeah.
And we needed Georgia to win. We needed Ohio State to come in dispirited, and they were not. But I thought we played pretty well. We at 24-21 and 31-24. I mean, we're in the game with the ball, a chance to go ahead once, a chance to tie, and we couldn't do it. They're a better team, but we're going to the Holiday Bowl, so I'm not going to whine about going to Torrey Pines.
Yeah, this is what you've
on
got.
New Year's Eve.
You go to Torrey Pines on New Year's Eve. You play Utah. Interestingly, you lost your conference championship.
Yeah, so
they lost their conference championship. That's an interesting matchup, right? You don't know anything about Utah. I mean, nobody knows anything about Utah. But that is not a bad place for Northwestern to be, I would think.
No, it's a great place. And so there's no whining. We're not going to try to fire our coach.
Right. Why?
Because we didn't like the way he won the 12th game, Clemson.
Right, right.
Yeah, we're not those people. You know, Tony, I think it's possible to become that no matter where you are. If there's so much winning, you start to question the stylish nature of the 12th win, and it didn't suit your fancy.
Get bored from
winning.
But we're
not that now. And God help us if we ever become that. And I so applaud Dabo Sweeney for saying, I will leave you idiots. I will leave you people if you keep this garbage up. I will go somewhere else. And so standing ovation to him.
Yes, he was.
But we're not going to do that after getting to the Big Ten title game for the first time.
Did you see where they fired Terry Bowden at Akron? Akron beat you and they fired Terry Bowden? That's sad.
Are you serious?
Yes. Akron fired Terry Bowden. He was 4-8.
What was their record this year?
4-8. 4-8.
Okay.
I got just one last question. Tell the people about the basketball team. Because I know you're upset about this. I think this is triumphant.
Not upset. So of all the things that happened this weekend, it's a bad weekend for me. It's the worst possible weekend. Our women's team, which is now ranked and was undefeated, just casualties in terms of we had like 3 kids sick, 3 kids out. We had like no bench. It was like 6 people playing. And we lost to Pitt, and that was our first loss as a ranked team. They're going to be after having a terrific season. And then Saturday afternoon, a lot of people, Tony, did a daily double, and they drove to Bloomington, which is 44 miles away from Indianapolis, and they watched in person the men's basketball team. And we lost essentially at the buzzer. We couldn't make a 3 at the buzzer, which was not desperation, but long 3. And we lost by a point.
To Indiana.
It's a big time. At ranked Indiana, I think is the hardest arena to play in the Big Ten. And so I'm not upset. I'm just, that annoyed me. Well, I'm not annoyed at the football team at all. I thought, again, I applaud the football team. And the Bears loss was just, I wanted to smack somebody. I don't know who to smack. The basketball team, that loss, we were watching the game all together, just a ton of us. And we're walking out, and Matthew says, "Dad, we're playing for the Rose Bowl. We're about to play for the Rose Bowl." And I looked at him, and I said, "Matthew, you're not going to believe what I'm going to say to you now. But if you ask me which of these things we had a better chance to get, a game over Indiana or beating Ohio State for the Rose Bowl, I'm going to tell you beating Indiana in basketball."
Yeah, yeah.
"And if you tell me which one, if I had to pick one, which would I rather do?" Well, of course, it sounds preposterous to say you would take a regular season win at IU over a game to go to the Rose Bowl, you know, over Ohio State. But the point is, the basketball team, Tony, the Big Ten is so hard. With 7 ranked teams right now, there's like 11 of the 14 teams could be tournament worthy. But all of them aren't going to go.
No.
And if you could start the season with a win at Indiana when you've got Michigan at home tomorrow night on deck.
That's hard.
Michigan's
good.
Not that I care more about the best. I love them both. But, like, what is realistic here? What can we actually get? And to play that well against IU and lose at the buzzer was just – that just took the wind out of my sails largely on Saturday. So it was a – you know, you can tell from my voice I've been screaming at a lot of people.
It's good.
So even though going 0-4, 0-4 weekend, you know, it was pretty, I don't know, monumental in terms of sort of the things that we were in position to do. And so the thing that makes me angry is the Bears lost. They can – you mentioned the Packers, Vikings.
Or Lions, lost. All lost.
And the Vikings are at Seattle this week. We got the Rams. We got the Rams.
Bears have the Rams next Sunday night.
Not at home, though.
Next Sunday night. Come watch it at Chatter.
Yes. Wilbon,
we got them in Green Bay back-to-back. And so, you know, nothing safe at 8-4 because you can see your way to the – and the Bears end up at Minnesota.
Yeah, on the 30th. I was going to say, doesn't it feel like that thing's going to come down to that last game of the season?
They need to clinch. Look, Minnesota is a game and a half. If the Bears can beat either Green Bay or the Rams,
they're
one
fine.
Game.
They're fine.
And then they got at the 49ers.
Yeah.
Those would be the two games they could win. They win 10, and they should win.
Absolutely. All right, I'll see you later.
All right, Tom.
Michael Wilbon, boys and girls. I'll see him later because he'll be on the PTI
fired
show.
Up, Wilbon.
He's very fired up. We'll take a break. We'll come back with news. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Quip ad. I have option one and option two. We're going to go with option two today. When you think of the perfect gift, you probably don't think of an electric toothbrush. But the Quip electric toothbrush is one of the most gift-guided gifts of the season, and here's why. It's perfect for everyone with a mouth, and it's something they'll use twice a day. There are sensitive sonic vibrations that are gentle enough on your sensitive gums, and a built-in timer with a guiding pulse to remind you when to switch sides. Quip makes holiday travel clean and easy with a multi-use cover that mounts to mirrors and unmounts to slide over the bristles for on-the-go brushing. It doesn't require a clunky charger. It runs for 3 months on one charge. Quip is the gift that keeps refreshing with brush heads automatically delivered on a dentist-recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5. And you can even gift prepaid refills for a year to make sure they're never using old, worn-out, or ineffective bristles. And it's one of the first electric toothbrushes accepted by the American Dental Association and has thousands of verified 5-star reviews. Now, I get in trouble with this all the time. My brain is too limited.
Push the button.
I don't understand how something can be electric if it doesn't plug in to some source of electricity.
Well, it's witchcraft.
I believe that if it uses a battery, it is battery powered. I make the distinction between battery powered and electric.
But what charges the battery?
But I don't know, because that's the mystery to me.
Electric.
The battery shows up. It just shows up.
Yeah, it's
a standalone thing. I don't trust
Regardless
it.
Of the battery versus electricity debate that we could literally have for hours.
That's right.
I did see a lot of Quip product moving off the shelf at Target yesterday.
That's good. Good to know. Good to know. Quip has over 5,000 verified 5-star reviews. Quip looks like a big-ticket tech gift with a stocking stuffer price starting at just $25. If you go to getquip.com/TonyK right now, you will get your first refill pack for free with a Quip electric toothbrush, but you don't have to tell your giftee that if you were going to give someone this as a gift. That is your first refill pack free at getquip.com QUIP.com/TonyK.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Rashid Tyree sends this in. He's an artist living in Columbus, Ohio. For years, he writes, I've listened to your podcast and the great songs and wondered, why haven't I sent in any of my music to the show? Well, a few clicks and a few years later, here's a song of mine submitted for your approval. It's called This Is Mine from my band, musical alter ego, The Dark Horse. While it is about a deeply personal loss, the song has been life-affirming for myself and my fans. I hope you enjoy it. The album, The Year Of, is available on all the major streaming sites, as well as the occasional play on the sound system at the Old Town Tavern in Columbus. Thanks to you and the gang for a lot of laughs in the past, present, and future, your boy, Rashid Tyree. Michael, if people like Rashid Tyree want to send in their original music, how do they do it?
Send us your music by emailing it at the show, jingles@tonykornheiser.com.
And what are we selling?
It is the holiday season, so go check out shop.tonykornheiser.com where you can get the official TK mug. I know one of you listeners out there stole Tony's official
yes,
mug.
That's true.
But we still have mugs available on the website. And with the holidays, I'm sure you'll be opening some wine, so check out the Wine Tyrant Corkscrew.
Ooh, which is
and
very
you,
good.
You won't be saving bottles of wine, but maybe you will, and you try that the bottle saver as well.
Hey, this is how old I am. I am old
How
enough.
How old are you, Tone?
How
I am
old, are
old
you?
Enough to remember when we would go out and buy small bottles of Matus wine, and when the Matus rosé, which is just, it makes, and I do this in honor of Nick, it makes the Amtrak Acela Club wine taste like grower's champagne from Provence.
Rosé okay? all day.
You know, Matus wine, and then you'd melt a candle on the top, and that would be... That would be
oh, like fancy yeah, yeah, maker's
yeah.
mark.
Oh, sure, yeah. sure.
The nice old
night.
Wax
Sounds
seal.
Like a nice night. Yeah.
Garbage. The old anyway. Wax seal.
So go ahead. You have news, Nigel?
I do indeed, Mr. Tony. I want to start with some exciting news. Michael pointed this out to me this morning that Simon the Sea Cat is the number one children's military fiction book on Amazon
fantastic.
Right now.
Hey. That's fantastic.
I yes. told you you could do it.
Yes. And as we said, we don't want to know what it's going up against in that category,
no,
but it's number one in that category.
Good.
And we
That's like best of online betting.
Yes,
it's
exactly.
a category we didn't know existed, but thank
right.
God for it.
Some very exciting news. We're going to start with college basketball, Mr. Tony. Big win for the Bearcats.
It's not a D1 school. We beat Hartwick.
A win is a win.
It's not D1.
89-70, the final.
It's not
beat
D1.
Sam the Sham Sessions had 17 points. And
Wait,
Caleb,
his nickname is the Sham?
That's what I'm saying. And Caleb the Big Potato Stewart has 16
Sham, wow.
and 7
the
rebounds.
Big Potato.
There you
the
go.
Baked Potato?
It's the not Big
D1.
Potato.
Oh, Big Potato.
The big,
D1.
Actually, you know, we'll do some college basketball for women. UConn beats Notre Dame.
They go to Notre Dame. Notre
yes.
Dame is,
that was a
is,
1-2
is
matchup,
unanimous
right?
number one this year. They go to Notre Dame. They win by 17. Because that is the program in all of
there
college
are still
sports.
UConn,
that's
right?
the program.
Yes,
yeah.
used to be.
Yeah,
Mr. Tony, there was a big, well, you know, we'll go to the NFL right now. We talked about it a little bit, but Green Bay fires Mike McCarthy after their loss to the Cardinals. Mm.
Mike McCarthy's record at Green Bay is 122-77-2. He's 50 games over 500. Other than Belichick, I don't know who else is that who's coaching right now. 50 over 500. And I understand why they you could have waited till the end of the year because it's over now. But I guess, anecdotally, we are told that his relationship with Aaron Rodgers is non-existent. There's no, you know, if you watch that team, they're no good. They're not any good.
Yep.
So the people who were asleep at the switch are in the general manager's position. That there's no stock of players there. Well, I don't think he's the world's I don't think he's Einstein, not even Norman Einstein. But you know, he inherited Brett Favre and then he got Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, right.
It's hard to be bad with that. It's hard to be bad. I understand why he's gone. Could have waited till the end of the year. But his record is really good.
Nine playoffs and a Super Bowl in his 12
really
prior seasons.
Good.
And I will point out, if Mason Crosby...
He's got a kick at the end to send it to overtime.
Yep. Yeah. And missed 100 kicks in the tie against the
Minnesota.
The Vikings.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you could be looking at 6-5-1.
Yes,
or if Ty Montgomery doesn't bring a ball out of an end zone.
Yes.
So
yes.
It's a very thin line in the NFL these days between
yes.
good
now
and bad.
You say
that McCarthy and it's been reported McCarthy and Rodgers don't really have a relationship.
No.
Do you think Aaron Rodgers' brother will invite McCarthy home for to Christmas?
Dinner.
Yeah, come on over. We like you, Mike.
Yes.
Thin line between love and hate, Gary.
By the way, Tony Dungy last night on the Sunday Night Broadcast, very critical of that decision, basically saying you owed this guy the right to finish the season.
I would have.
And then Rodney Harrison gave the I completely disagree with Dungy, which I like because I think that both of those are fair points.
I think it's interesting though, coming from a coach. I mean, you're going to get
different orientation between a coach and a player.
Right.
Players that don't like coaches want them out of here yesterday.
Okay. I know we talked about the comeback from Alabama, but I know you wanted to say some further things about Jalen Hurts.
This so rarely happens. Let's go back in the history of Alabama, and it's not that long. It's less than a year away. Okay? So Nick Saban does something uncharacteristic for Nick Saban. He goes to Tua in the second half of the national championship game, and they win the game, and everybody understands that Tua Tagovailoa is going to be, he's a pro. He's going to be the quarterback. Jalen Hurts had been there for 2 years, was 36-2. Some unbelievable record. Whatever he was, he's not a pro passer, but he was a great leader. He got them into the playoffs 2 years in a row. Okay. His old man starts yapping about how he's a free agent now and he can go anywhere he wants, all of which is true. And for whatever reason Jalen Hurts had, he stayed. And he backed up Tua. Tua went out. Jalen Hurts came in. For a guy who can't pass, he had three straight great third down passes. He threw a touchdown in going to his right in the corner of the end zone. And then he ran one in. He won that game.
Yes.
Jalen Hurts won that game. His reward is he's not playing. He's not starting, against Oklahoma, and I wouldn't start him either. But and we don't root for Nick Saban to do well. We don't on this show.
Absolutely not.
But you know what? His words to Jalen Hurts were the right words, and Jalen Hurts went out there, and he won that game personally. You rarely see that opportunity, and if you get that opportunity, it rarely works out that way. So you have to feel good for Jalen Hurts.
Absolutely. To boxing, Mr. Tony.
What happened in that fight?
Between Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury.
Who surprised me by being British.
Yes.
Well, I was
great
surprised
name.
Tyson.
Both of them. Wilder versus Fury.
Do you know how large they are?
The big men.
Fury's 6'9". Wilder's 6'7.5".
Yeah, these are
big. These guys are gigantic.
Yeah, this is for the heavyweight world championship
If there was something above heavyweight.
The world championship of the world.
Yes. Huh. Hmm. Yes. Well,
That sounds big.
They want to emphasize that it is for the planet Earth.
Yeah.
Wilder dropped Tyson Fury twice, but Fury was able to outbox him at least in one judge's opinion.
Split
decision, yeah. One judge scored at 115-111 for Wilder. Another judge had it 114-112 for Fury. And the British judge, Phil Switzerland Edwards, had it as 113 each. So there will definitely be
a rematch. So he retains the title on a split decision draw.
Yes.
He retains the title, so they'll do this again.
Yes.
Whereas there should be no doubt
in
anyone's mind. Did you watch? I didn't watch.
No.
I didn't care about it.
Nope.
No, it's...
boxing.
I only watch MMA now.
It was like Tyson Holyfield for me. I had all the friends over. We bought it. We sat around and watched.
How was it?
No, I'm kidding. Oh. I mean, in fact...
I don't know either of those two people.
Could you name
ever.
A heavyweight who's not Wilder or Fury?
Yeah, no. Klitschko. Is he still fighting?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Sonny Fury beat one of the Klitschkos. That's Sonny how he got here.
Is Liston still fighting?
No, he's not. He's not breathing.
I mean,
either.
Yeah, but boxing...
No.
It's just two punches. Me hitting you, you hitting the ground, babe.
That's exactly what it is. Okay. To golf, Mr. Tony. Jon Rahm...
Golf.
...wins...
Michael, did you watch this?
I watched earlier round coverage. I did not watch yesterday.
Early rounds, the best.
Why am I gonna waste an NFL Sunday watching a made up event in the Bahamas?
It's a member guest. It's the Tiger Woods. I
never know if this is late season or early season. Which do we?
It's preseason.
The new wrap
preseason.
Round,
So Jon Rahm was a good player.
Yeah, ended chunky guy. Three victories to close out his year.
Sneaky Spanish Jon Rahm.
Yes,
I wouldn't have thought that he was Spanish.
I don't think
why would you not
volatile
thought that?
Player.
I just don't think it's much this tournament. Tiger finished top 20, finished 17th. There were 18 people in it. I mean,
but hopefully, our talking about this brings up a larger point. These players are getting official world golf ranking points for this, and it is a member guest, and it just sheds light on a larger issue where the majority of these events now are limited field. So it's the rich get richer, and you have people who are struggling to just get into events.
The Bronson Burgos of the world, what happens to them?
Yeah,
not that I care, because he is obviously that guy. Has no interest in being on this show.
Yeah. Yes, does he still have to make good to Bootsy?
Michael, where does Bootsy stand on
Bronson? Bootsy has Burgoon? Accepted and forgiven Bronson Burgoon.
Wow.
Bootsy, a larger man than
magnanimous.
Bronson Burgoon.
Magnanimous.
But Bootsy's new thing, he watches the golf, and every time someone hits a shot, whether it's a drive or a putt, and this is not just the Golf Channel piping in fake music, he just goes, ooh,
that's
every
great.
Shot.
That's great.
Nice. Come on, he's excited. Kid's on it.
Yeah.
And this story comes to us from Chris Saliza.
Yeah.
It's fake.
It's about my personal life.
Yeah, this sounds like something just comes for your
snow
personal.
This weekend, by the way. It looks like accumulating snow.
Wait, the update, the new model I heard this morning going south of us, okay. FYI.
That's nice.
Take that, Sheehan.
Katie Mehta, age 26, was hired to photograph a couple's wedding at the Parker Manor in Weatherford, Texas.
Okay.
Sounds nice.
Where, according to police, they believe she mixed what is essentially a generic version of Xanax and alcohol during the event.
Why would you do that if you have a job to do?
Why wouldn't you do it is the better question.
She was advised...
Well, maybe she did it, maybe she didn't, in fairness.
She was advised to leave by an off-duty Parker County Sheriff's deputy who was providing security at the wedding after she was allegedly discovered to be engaging in sexual intercourse with a male guest. After she was asked to leave... it gets better.
Alleged.
After she was asked to leave, she went over to a tree and began to urinate. Then, as police officers placed her into the car, she became belligerent and yelled, "Y'all's daughters are dead. Y'all's families will be dead by Christmas."
It's so good.
What a great wedding. Great wedding. Congratulations. She's an angel.
And how did the pictures turn out?
Yeah.
Well, they'll be available.
Was it documented?
Yes. Her sister apparently is claiming that her drink was spiked. Well, so there's still... The Kornheiser I team will be investigating this.
All right. We will be back. We will have Old Guy when we return. Yes, that's Old right. Guy Radio. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
The fall and now winter sports season is one of the hardest times of year to get through without a cable subscription. From professional and college football to baseball's October Magic, and now to college basketball and the NBA. Being exiled from the sports world is a nightmare. But now with ExpressVPN, you can stream all of your favorite teams in any sport on your computer, phone, or tablet. ExpressVPN is the biggest secret cable companies don't want you to hear about. ExpressVPN can get you any IP address in the world, letting you access sports teams available in other countries. It also lets you securely use the internet without being tracked by anyone. ExpressVPN keeps your online activity private and anonymous while you browse, email, download, or stream, or just trying to access the Chris Saliza on the YouTube channel with his new show.
Yeah, ChrisSaliza.com. Yes.
Their easy-to-use app encrypts all your internet data and hides your IP address, protecting your entire connection. ExpressVPN costs less than $7 a month and runs seamlessly in the background of your computer, phone, or tablet. Every time you use the internet without ExpressVPN, you're putting sensitive data at risk. To unlock access to the streaming content you want today and find out how you can get 3 months free, go to expressvpn.com/Tony. That's expressvpn.com/Tony for 3 months free with a one-year package. Visit expressvpn.com/Tony to learn more.
Good job, Mike. Good job.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Old Guy Radio for the day. It's a British group. Used to call themselves the Beatles.
Yeah, they ever amount to much?
Not much. Not as much as Wings.
Jet!
Yeah. Why are we playing this?
Because on this date, in 1965, the Beatles released...
53 years ago.
Released the album Rubber Soul.
Great
That's
album.
That's a pretty good one.
And just a great album.
Yeah, you know how they got the idea for the cover? Because it sort of got that weird angle to it.
Yeah.
They were looking at photographs.
Fisheye lens.
Yeah. They were looking at photographs on the table spread out, and one of them sort of bent up, and they said, "Ooh, that's the look we want." And there you go. And this was written.
How did they get the look on the White Album?
I think they said, "George, you figure it out."
Yeah.
But this was written by McCartney about problems he was having with his then girlfriend, Jane Asher. He would call her up, and she would blow his phone calls off. So 5 minutes later, he wrote this brilliant song.
There you go.
The stuff they did is, you know.
They did the Beatles channel, which I listened to almost exclusively on Sirius XM, channel 18, did the, I guess they're calling it the later hits countdown. They did the top 75 songs from 67 to 70. They wrote so many amazing songs in that period. Oh my gosh.
They were better than most.
Right.
Better than most. All right, let me get to a few things. Let me certainly acknowledge the passing of Elder Bush, George Herbert Walker Bush, who was, I can't say anything that you haven't heard already. He's a fine and good man. He's a patriot in the best sense. He enlisted in the Navy in World War II. He was a pilot. He later was a congressman. He later was vice president and then president. He ran the CIA.
Yeah.
There's nobody who ever worked for him who didn't say good things about him. And nobody who worked for him who didn't think that he was competent and wonderful on all levels. He ran for presidencies. You know, he got beat by Ronald Reagan. He got beat. And Ronald Reagan reached out and offered him the vice presidency. There's a famous story that David Brinkley was approached by this. And somebody asked, where's George Bush? And this was in Detroit. He said, he's in the bar in the lobby of the Pontchartrain Hotel. And the Reagan people found him. And then the next thing, he was the vice president. Tom Boswell wrote about his relationship with him. I commend this to you. George Bush, big sports fan, as is his sons, you know, big sports fans. He liked the fact that Boz wrote about baseball and chatted up Boz all the time. He was a very dear friend of Dan Jenkins. They played golf together often. He played speed golf, played as fast as he could. Dan, a number of times, came up to Washington to play with the president at that time, and obviously must have played a whole bunch in Texas. He played baseball at Yale. I went to a state dinner. He couldn't have been nicer. What I remember most and what people write about all the time is the personal touch. He wrote notes to everyone. He didn't write emails. He wrote cards and letters and put them in the mail, and you got them at your house. I have a picture at home signed by him. His signature is very weird looking to me in the sense that if you look at it, it looks like his first name is Cy, C-Y, and his last name is Berg, B-E-R-G, but it's George Bush. Right, Chris? Haven't you heard this from everyone?
Yes.
Like the nicest guy in the world.
There's a ton.
The nicest guy.
One nice, really
nice
thing.
And an effective leader.
Presidency looked back on more with his 4 years looked aged well, I would say, broadly speaking. He was not terribly well. Obviously, he lost to Bill Clinton in 92.
Yeah.
Can I commend one other thing?
Sure.
And even if you dislike, and everyone has an opinion about Maureen Dowd, I am pro.
But, I love Maureen Dowd.
She wrote a really nice piece about her unlikely friendship with H.W., which is very...
Who also became Bill Clinton's best pal.
Posted last night.
They ran against each other. You know, you can't... Without getting too deep in the weeds here, you can't imagine the guy sitting there now is going to have these relationships.
Yeah.
Fundamentally decent human being.
Yeah, everybody felt that way, and so read all the stories and watch all the coverage. I just wanted to mention Happy Hanukkah to people. Today is the first full day of Hanukkah. Hanukkah is an 8-day festival
of
lights.
Eight crazy nights.
Yeah, on the liturgical calendar, it's not the holiest. I mean, it's sort of minor, but it's cool. You know, and people like it, and you light the candles. And last night, I was very privileged in that my children came over. Michael came over with Liz and the baby boy, Bootsy.
To Ingleside?
Still
in the house.
Elizabeth
and Ron came over. Elizabeth cooked potato pancakes, latkes, brisket, which was great. I mean, it was great.
It broke my spirit.
Why?
So I am a good amateur cook.
You're very good.
I love cooking. Having Walker at home, I'm cooking at home all the time. I made a brisket about 7 weeks ago that I thought was fantastic. She plays a game of which I'm not familiar.
She's good. She's really good, and the food was great, and the company was great, and the candles were lit, and everything was nice. Michael and I did get to play. We got to play golf yesterday on what is probably the last hospitable golf day of the year for me on a weekend or something like that, but... I played well.
You had a stretch of four or five pars in a row.
Yeah,
par three specials. You were at your club? Back out.
Hmm? Yeah,
because
yeah,
I was
walked it.
Wow. It was soggy.
It wasn't soggy.
I mean, my house was soggy. Like literally walking on a sponge.
Yeah, soggy.
Anywhere you went,
very soggy. We
because it's been raining here.
We broke the record, right? We broke the record for the wettest year so far.
Many people say we broke the record.
Well, we're not.
Yeah, believe me, we broke the record.
Wettest year ever from the standpoint of water.
So let me get to Kareem Hunt, because this is the one thing that I left out. And it stands in sort of contradistinction, as we like to say, to what the Redskins did with Reuben Foster. Kareem Hunt, everybody saw that video. That video was on Friday. It came out. We remade the
Who PTI got that
show.
Video?
TMZ.
Oh, go figure.
TMZ got that video. There's something that people have to understand, and it doesn't mean that we all won't be caught, but that everything you do in public and the hallways of a hotel are public and the elevators of casinos are public, not the rooms, but the hallways, the common areas are public. Everything is on tape, everything. So that when the owner of the Kansas City Chiefs hears that Kareem Hunt is involved in a dust-up, and calls him in and sits him down with the GM and the head coach. And Kareem Hunt says, it was nothing. It's not, I don't know, you know, maybe somebody shoved somebody. I wasn't really involved. I let people handle it. It's really nothing. And is convincing to the degree that the owner of the Kansas City Chiefs, Clark Hunt, says, we don't anticipate any problem. This happened in February. February. We don't anticipate any problem. No, you don't, until the tape comes out.
Whoops.
Until the tape comes out and you go, whoa, this is a problem. Now, I don't want to get carried away here. That's certainly assault. It also probably happens 5,000 times a night in the United States mm-hmm. of America. That same thing happens. It is very rarely prosecuted. And it wasn't prosecuted here. It's not going to be prosecuted. It's not. But video in the post-Ray Rice world changes everything. So if you have story A and video makes it into story B, then the team, not the league, is after the team. The team first has the opportunity to do something. And the Kansas City Chiefs, unlike the Washington Redskins, the Kansas City Chiefs cut a guy who was putting them on track to get to the Super Bowl. One of.
Well, one of the five best running backs in the league, for sure.
Cut him.
Yeah, led the league in rushing.
Cut him.
Didn't he?
On the spot, when they saw this, within hours, said, that's it. We're done with this fella. Who, by the way, has since said, as everybody says, that's not who I am. Well, actually, it is who you are, and it's on tape. But it's not how I was raised to be. And that's probably true. You were not raised to be that. What you should do is follow the Jay-Z in the elevator method and get as far away from this thing as possible. You had... People who were trying to separate
one
you.
One of his people.
What are you doing?
In that video, one of his guys grabs the cell phone from one of her friends. Like one of her friends
you know
is
the
recording
deal.
It.
Right.
Yeah. Protect the franchise.
That's what should have happened. Now that he's open to be claimed by the Redskins, who claimed Reuben Foster. I'm wondering if Reuben Foster gets released. I'm wondering if that happens when the Redskins realize what has happened to them. And see what the Kansas City Chiefs did. I wonder if Reuben
they
Foster...
Can't, they can't,
really, that would they, surprise me.
They
that
can't would, do yeah. it right away
That's
because
right.
it'd look like a massive misjudgment, which I think it was, but it would
but,
be
but
an owning
month,
up.
But in yeah. a month, you can do this. So these things... So the other question that looms to me is, how does the NFL, having seen this with Ray Rice, how does the NFL not get a hold of these tapes? Now... They say their position is, we inquired, and law enforcement said, no, if you're not law enforcement, you can't have these tapes, and so we backed away. No, at that point, you put a checkbook on the table, which is what TMZ did. You put a checkbook on the table, and you say, how much? And then you get the tape, and if you're the NFL, you go to the owner of the Kansas City, to the owner of any team where this happens, mm-hmm. and allow that person to render judgment on that person's employee before you do it. That's right? That's yep. protocol.
Yes.
I don't know how they don't do that.
Well, it's
I don't know how they don't get it. TMZ got it.
Well, how they don't get it, I mean, there's a simple answer to that question. They don't try.
They're not right. trying.
And which is why I
don't
think
you want to protect your league?
Yeah, I'm not sure I I share your view of how this thing was administered by the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs, I think he was waived because the essentially because the Chiefs' willful ignorance was exposed.
Okay.
And that was the only...
Okay.
I mean, because going back
but
to the conversation...
But they did it.
Yes, they did.
They did.
They did.
They eventually did the right thing.
Within hours of seeing. They had not seen it.
How does...
If they had seen it, they would not have.
So how does team ownership... This is my point. After the conversation, they sit down with Kareem Hunt. Tells him what happened. How do they, when he leaves the room, not say, you know what, let's go see what happened.
100%,
Gary. Go get the tape.
Because
this is in the hallway of a hotel.
So they either did... And then did nothing and just hoped the tape never got out, which would be terrible. Or they just said, he's really good. He's very fast. Got great hands.
Either way, the league didn't talk to him or the girl involved in the incident.
Nope.
Does that bother you at all or no?
They don't want to know.
I don't know that the league knew the identity of anyone else involved. I don't know that. No, they didn't talk to him because it didn't rot. Because what he said made it not rise to anything in particular. But I agree with Gary. I agree with Gary that the league has an ostrich mentality.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
And doesn't want to know.
Right.
But it gets worse when the video comes out.
Absolutely.
It gets
of
worse.
It always does.
I mean,
and
how
the
have
video
they not learned that
comes out
at this point? How have they not learned that much?
I don't know. One of the reasons.
There's some interesting reporting about it, which it's speculative, so I won't go there here, right. But you can do your own research. But as far as what led to that confrontation, some of the things that this victim, the girl in the video, was maybe saying or doing outside of his room, which would be extraordinarily antagonistic, not justifying the actions.
The professional athlete, has to
you
stay...
You have to have people
you
to
have
go
people.
Handle that.
Yes. That's why you have people.
Yes.
That's why you have people. Again, the Jay-Z in the elevator is this.
Yes.
Jay-Z is with his guard, his guy, right. Mm-hmm. And his wife and his sister-in-law, among others. And the sister-in-law is going crazy and is trying to hit him and get to him and kick him because she believes him guilty of an extramarital dalliance. Mm-hmm. And Jay-Z goes in the corner and lets
full
the
armadillo.
Bodyguard.
Just goes full armadillo. Goes, just curls up into the corner.
And the bodyguard takes care of it. Why? Because you can't.
Also,
he understands
because he's
them.
A bodyguard. That's why you're paying them.
And Kareem Hunt had.
Yes.
Yeah.
He had people.
People there.
Yeah.
He had people. So you can't do it. Does he get another chance? Maybe he does. Ray Rice didn't. Yeah. But Kareem Hunt is younger and better.
Yeah. But
younger
man,
and better. So maybe he does. I don't know. I don't know.
Kareem Hunt is 23.
Yeah. He can play.
Yeah, wow. He was a rookie last year.
Okay, we'll take a break, and when we come back, we will have email and jingles.
That's right.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Wilbon and I break down the big game between Binghamton and Northwest.
They all went out to Evanston on the Lake Michigan shoreline. For Wildcats versus Bearcats, your bragging rights would be on the line. They got it ready for a showdown, the battle of the big SATs. But when it all was over, son, what mattered most was Mike's guys making threes.
They're D1 players.
Mike's alma mater. Delivered a beat down.
We're beating D5 teams.
Mike's alma mater.
Who's winning tonight? Binghamton or Northwestern?
We need to just come out and just stomp on you. We should win this game. We're a Big Ten school with aspirations. Go Bearcats.
Thank you to John Fitzpatrick in Arlington. Thank you so much. We got...
There's nothing I love. Nothing I love more than a song that incorporates you talking. It's just there's something about it. I don't know.
Let me thank Wilbon himself for coming on the show today. Let me also thank our sponsors, 23andMe, Quip, and a great read for ExpressVPN by Michael. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. From Brandon in Silverton. Over the years, my father-in-law has shared stories of growing up in small-town America. No matter how many times I hear them, the nostalgia of cruising down Main Street in a 57 Chevy on a Friday night, just because that's what kids do, always made me feel a bit cheated growing up with a Nissan pickup. Just letting you know there's at least one 20-something out there who likes the idea of driving a Cadillac sedan. Just found the podcast recently after years of watching PTI with my dad, so I have no idea where this started, but the hell with it, eat it, Saliza.
Strong
Greg,
finish.
Greg Freitag, or Freitag, station wagon driver in Syracuse, New York. Any young people who still don't understand the American sedan need to watch Mad Men Season 2, Episode 7, The Gold Violin. Cadillac salesman, what are you in now? Don Draper, I had a Dodge. Salesman, those are wonderful if you want to get somewhere. This is for when you've already arrived. That's really good. Mad Men, a great show.
Yeah,
a
really
great
was.
Show. From Frank J. Curry in the Lakewood Ranch in Florida. Tony, I was very sad to learn you did not receive home delivery of the newspaper on Wednesday. To commence the annual discussion of Christmas tipping protocol, how many quarters will you remove from the delivery person's annual roll of quarters?
Not a question.
From Chris Quimby in Belfast, Maine. So Chuck Todd correctly predicts he will have a bad week and receives no credit for being right. Shouldn't he get 1 point as a prop bet? Chuck Todd having another bad week.
Yeah. Not as bad as
another
the monkey.
Bad week. The monkey about could go 0-3.
James, our only winner this week. Everyone else
so
lost.
So far. So no, well, Jeff Ma's up. Jeff Ma's up.
Oh, that's right. He's 3-1.
Kevin Brown from Smyrna, Georgia. Dr. Grandpa, it's a battery, not electricity. Me. Hey, Google, define battery. The Google lady. A container consisting of one or more cells in which chemical energy is converted into electricity and used as a power source.
Don't trust
this
that.
Helps. P.S. Gary has become my second favorite voice on the show for his treatment of lace. Keep it up. We're all
I'm down
oh,
one.
Oh, what a surprise. Everyone from loves Gary.
Dennis Ryan.
Not everyone.
Traverse City, Michigan. It was fun to hear that there is a drinking game involving the Hallmark Christmas Channel. If that doesn't get you completely soused, perhaps it would be fun to move on to a new game for Jeff Ma. Take one shot for every time he says narrative or value. Two shots when he blames the refs for a bad beat, and everybody drinks when he slams Kip Sheeman. This game is a work in progress. Please offer your thoughts. We love
endorse.
The idea.
Yes. Yep.
From
love
Jim Walsh in Atlanta, Georgia. During the Purell ad, you stated, Purell kills more than 99.99% of the most common germs that can make you sick. How much more can they kill? How about lifting all those weights so they can get the extra 0.01%? Yes. From Paul in Ottawa, has your Washington football team picked up Kareem Hunt yet? No, yeah. Not yet.
Easy
not
joke.
Yet. It's
Monday
only
morning.
Monday.
Right,
easy joke.
It's only Monday. William Shensky III in Silver Spring. What would Brent Musburger say to Knickers? Probably something like, big cow, big cow, big cow, big cow, big cow.
That was big
is
cow.
That a real cow or was that a fake cow?
It's a bovine.
No,
it's,
I have not seen any that real, exposure it's, that it's, yeah,
it's
a phony
steer,
story.
So it's a male cow, I guess.
From Kurt
steer.
Sanger in Gambrills, Maryland. I read the book and all I can say is, what a cat.
How about that?
This is for you.
Yes, Simon the Sea Cat. Simon the Sea Cat, available now on Amazon.
Amazon?
Mike in D.C., long time, first time. As a fan of the show, I feel compelled to tell you a story that took place over the weekend while out with a woman to whom I'm not related by marriage. Over the course of the night, exchanging anecdotes with this lovely lady, she reveals that she was colloquially known as Bootsy earlier in life, as it sounds similar to her last name. My knee-jerk reaction to this information was a laugh that probably seemed out of place for what she surely thought was a throwaway line. Also out of place was me screaming, ah, and waving my arms like Dr. Tony with the baby. Went, ah! The subsequent attempt to explain to her the family tree of the Bald Orange Man, who hosts a sports-adjacent podcast from a bar on the corner of Wisconsin and Jennifer Street, was almost certainly unsuccessful. Needless to say, I don't think there will be a second date. I'm sorry about that. From Mandy Baker, I run into littles all over the DMV, but this encounter was by far the best. I was sitting at a left-turn double lane off Route 7 and listening to Thursday's podcast. After laughing at Chuck Todd telling his Acela La Cheeserie story, I started singing the monkey song and doing the penguin dance. I always do the dance when I sing the song in my car. My kids think I'm crazy and just laugh at me. All of a sudden, the car behind me honked and motioned to lower the window, so I did. Why not? He proceeded to give me the TK salute and shouted, that show still stinks, as he drove off. I could not stop
wow,
laughing.
Huge.
If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
This book is devastating.
Thanks.
I came here to escape, cause the day-to-day is wearing me thin. I'm gonna sit till they force me and kick the stool out from under my skin. Cause this is the time when I make all my favorite mistakes, and the vodka is right on cue.
Never have pass by, but I'm standing at the edge of the